Isaiah chapter 64, and start there in verse number 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thy adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those in continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as unclean thing, we are all unrighteousness, our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We pray, we are the clay, and thou art the potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. Be not wroth, very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we're all thy people. The holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praise thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Will thou refrain thy lips from refrain thyself from these things, O Lord? Will thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? I'll try my best to be an encouragement to you tonight. I don't know what all you're going through. I know some things, but I'm sure I don't know everything. I want to try to encourage you. If you're going through a trial tonight, it's not by mistake. Did not surprise God. God's never woken up from sleep and been surprised by what's going on. He's never been surprised. He is aware. He knows what you're going through. He knows the trials you're going through. I'm glad that I know Jesus as my Savior, but even more than that, I'm glad he knows me as his servant. I'm glad I know him, but even more, I'm glad he knows me. He knows what I'm going through. And I preach just a few minutes tonight on Glad the Potter Knows the Clay. It's a popular thing to talk about, sing about, songs written about it. The scripture says a lot about it. This chapter here is a prayer from the Jews to God Almighty. They realize they have done wrong, they've erred from the faith, they've made mistakes. They're finally humbling themselves and submitting themselves to the authority and the sovereignty of God. This entire chapter, chapter 64, is just a prayer, begging God to have mercy on them, begging God for mercy. I look close in and really look at just one verse in this chapter, verse number 8. Obviously, you knew where I was going. It says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. What a powerful verse, what a powerful God we serve, the potter of the clay. Nothing more than fragile, moldable clay in the hand of God Almighty, in the hand of our potter. Our life's nothing more than his work. And look at that tonight. We'll compare a potter to the Lord and see what we can learn. A potter, to be a potter, it takes some skill. Being a potter takes a tender touch, having experience and knowing the material you're working with. Believe it or not, I'm not the most tender person in the world. I know you're probably hard to believe. I don't have a very tender touch. You can ask Natalie, she tells me all the time I'm too rough, too harsh, too forceful all the time. My hands are rough to touch. I'm not as gentle as I think I am most times. I'm trying to be nice to the kids. I'm probably beating them beside the head. I couldn't be a potter is what I'm trying to say. Don't have a gentle touch. Give me a wrench and a hammer, I can do pretty well with those things, but working with my hands, not so much. It takes a special person with a special skill and a special touch to be able to form clay the way it needs to be formed, the way they want it formed. It takes a tender and loving hand to form a clay pot. It takes a tender touch. It takes a skill. It says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Serve a special kind of God with a special skill and a special touch. He knows what it takes to mold the clay. He knows what it takes to form it. He knows how much pressure it can take, as the song says. He knows what it takes. Not just anybody can do it. It takes a special skill. God can do it. He has that skill. He has that special touch. I'm glad for the special touch he has. Being a potter takes a skill. Being a potter must first form a clay. You can't start with nothing. You have to have a clay. Before a potter can ever get to the potting wheel and get to forming the clay, he must first make the clay. The clay they use for pots, not just, they don't go out the yard and dig a hole and use the dirt off the ground. It's a special kind of clay. The clay comes, I read a little bit about it. The clay they use comes in a powder form. They order it in powder. Take the powder and mix it with certain percentages of water and different things, and they have to beat it and knead it and make it into the clay that they need to form a pot. some by hand, some by machine. You get all the air pockets of water out to form the perfect chunk of clay, ready to get formed into something useful. It says in Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God made man, made us clay, by taking the dust of the ground, took the dust. Just like a potter takes the dust and makes the clay, God took the dust of the ground, made us the clay, moldable in his image. Because in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. We're all formed by God. We're all living beings because God allowed it to happen. I don't need a biological explanation. I know how that works. I got 3 kids. But God formed us. If he formed Jeremiah, he can form everybody else. He's not a respecter of persons. God formed you. He formed the dust. He's in control. Why would God form Jeremiah in the belly if he didn't form everybody else? He's no respecter of persons. God's in control. Just like the potter, we're all created from the dust, all formed in his image by him. While the potter takes that dust I just mentioned briefly, but he mixes it with water. He takes the dust, he has to mix it with water. You know, the water is in Scripture. The water is a picture, always a picture of the Scripture, a picture of the Holy Ghost, depending on whether the water's moving or not. So God the Father takes this old lumps of dust, mixing a little bit of his word, a little bit of Scriptures, mixing a little of the Holy Ghost. So the picture of water is a picture of Holy Ghost and Scriptures, make us into a clay he can use, mixes in the water, makes into a clay he can use. The clay then is kneaded. It's pressed down, put under a lot of pressure, molded, formed together. Many times as Christians are put under some heavy pressure, heavy burdens. I know there's some here tonight under heavy burdens. I want to say you can trust the potter. What's the purpose of this pressure? What's the purpose of it? They press down the clay, they mix it with water, and they press the clay, knead it, form it. You do that to get the excess water. It needs a little bit of water. Don't need too much. Use it to get the excess water out. I think a lot of times we're put under pressure to see if we can push out any excess water, excess Holy Spirit, excess Scripture. Push it out. Help somebody else. Isn't those times of heavy burdens when God can use you, reach other ones that might not ever be used, might not ever be reached before? A testimony written in the valley is a whole lot stronger than a testimony written on the mountaintop. You make sure you're writing the right testimony. You might be under pressure just to squeeze out some of the Holy Spirit. You might be under pressure for God to form you. You might be under pressure to squeeze out some of that excess water. Lord can form you. So a potter has to have a skill. A potter must first form the clay. Well, God, Lord can do that too. A potter has a plan. If a potter is going to form a clump of clay into something, you've got to have a plan for it. He doesn't just start throwing stuff together. He makes a plan for the clay. He may even write it down, draw it out, draw what he wants to do with it. He prepares it. He plans for it. You don't have to be a theologian to figure out where I'm going with that. Lord plans us. Lord has a plan. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Glad our potter has a plan. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going to happen. He has a plan. He's aware. He's watching. Just because the pressure gets hard and things are moving that you didn't expect doesn't mean you aren't in the potter's hands. In fact, clay is not going to go through some sort of shaping and molding. Clay that is not going through some sort of shaping and molding is simply sitting on the shelf, not being used. When the clay is being formed, being molded, going through hard times, going through that pressure, that's when it's in the hands of the potter. When it goes through the hard times, that's when you're in the hands of the potter. When life gets hard, you can rest assured you're in the hands of the potter. It just means the potter's not done with you yet. Form you into something else. Unless you're not going through hard times, the potter's not done with you yet. Glad the potter has a plan, and glad he knows what's going on. I'm glad when the times get hard, when trials get hard, I'm glad we can rest assured we're in the potter's hands. He's in control. So a potter has a plan. A potter cares for his work, and it's pretty simple. I haven't spent too much time in a pottery shop, but I can about guarantee you that if a potter has spent all the time and effort to make a pot, he's going to make sure that pot's not going to get broken. He takes the time to make sure it's cared for. And it's safe. It's in a safe place, not to get knocked down, not to get destroyed. After all the time he spent forming it, he's not about to let it get ruined. 1 Chronicles 16:22 says, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Matthew 10:29, are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them should not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. Lord cares for you tonight. I know that's a cliche, and everybody likes to talk about God's love, but it's a biblical truth. I just read it to you. If a potter can care so much about the pot he has formed, how much more do you think a Heavenly Father cares for me and you? If he can attend a sparrow's funeral, he cares about you. He knows what you're going through. He knows the pressure you're under. He knows the trials you face. Don't you think for one second he doesn't care about you? The potter knows the clay. The potter knows what's going on. We have a mighty, powerful potter. There are some similarities, obviously, between a potter and a heavenly father, but there's also some differences. I'm going to look at those too. An earthly potter, a potter must be taught. Potter is not a skill that someone masters on their own and not something you're born knowing how to do. Somebody has to teach you how to do it. Maybe a friend, maybe a father, maybe as an apprentice, somebody teaches you how to be a potter. No one's born with that knowledge. We serve a great God in heaven that was and is to come. He's always has been, always will be. Nothing is new under the sun. He knows what's going on. He doesn't have to be taught. He taught it all. He created it all. He's been there the whole time. He doesn't have to be. I'm glad our potter doesn't have to be taught by another potter. I'm glad he knows what's going on. He knows the clay. He created the clay. He created the dust that made the clay. He knows what's going on. An earthly potter has to be taught. I'm glad our potter knows it all. An earthly potter makes mistakes. I don't care how skilled and how experienced you are in pottery. Sooner or later, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to mar a piece of clay, and you're going to have to throw it away. We serve a potter who makes no mistakes. Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening morning was the sixth day. He never has. He's not about to start making mistakes now. Never has made a mistake. Never has messed up. We look at some people and wonder why they have the trouble they do. A lot of times people blame it on God. Why would God create somebody like that? Sin's the one that made the trouble. Sin's the one that caused the trouble. The Lord's never made a mistake. Not all pottery is the same. Some are short, some are tall, some are round, some are square. Some hold liquid, some hold dirt. We're all different. We're all formed in the same wheel. He makes no mistakes. I'm glad our potter doesn't make any mistakes. Earthly potter makes is for himself. A potter will make any vessel for anyone. He doesn't go into the business of pottery just to fill his house full of empty pots. If he does, he's crazy. That's a lot of waste of space. He goes in the business of pottery and sell the pieces to other people. He goes in the business of pottery to get the joy from other people. He's in it for the income. I'm glad we serve a potter. He's not in it for the income. He's in it for the outcome. He makes every one of us for his own glory. Makes him for himself. Makes us for himself. So in Psalms 119:73, that thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. We are formed, we are fashioned for his glory. We're pots made, formed in the hands of the potter simply because the potter wants to, because he can. We're formed for him, by him. He forms us because he wants to. Every forming you go through in life is for the glory of God. Every trial you go through is for the glory of God. You ought to see the... We blame a lot of things on the devil. We lift his name up, blame the devil for a lot of things we're going through. The devil made me do it. The devil put me here. The devil, whatever. We blame him for a lot of things. That's just what he wants. God wants the glory for it. We're put through trials. God allows us to go through trials sometimes for his glory. He wants to see what we can go through. He wants to build a testimony through it, to form a testimony. We're all made for him, by him, for his glory. A potter can't form a pot without clay, an earthly potter. A potter does not have any clay, is worthless as a potter. Takes clay. Without the clay, he can do no work. He has to have the dust to make the clay. Our God, when he formed Adam, he took the dust of the ground, that he had already made. God will make a way. He'll create a way. He doesn't depend on anybody else or anything else. God is the way, the truth, and life. No man can come to the Father but by me. He is the only way. He is the only one that can do it. He is the only potter that can mold our clay. I'm thankful for the potter. It's reading about the process of making these clay pots, and both there's a lot of industrial work as well as small mom-and-pop shop methods. After these pots are formed, they go through a glazing process. You glaze the pots. This glaze keeps them shiny, makes them stronger. It's a covering for them. It says in Deuteronomy 33:12, and of Benjamin, I've preached on this before, and of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. It says in Psalms 91:4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Lord oftentimes will cover us as a sheep in Deuteronomy or as a young bird there in Psalms. He'll cover us, put a protection about us, protection over us, and make us shine like a new vessel ready for use. And thankfully, he covers us. Thankful for that glaze. Not only is there a glaze, but on these pots, these pots have to go through some fire, going through a kiln. And the bigger factories will take big carts full of pottery and they'll load them all up, send them into this big, long kiln, and that is heated by natural gas. A lot of times it burns at 2,300 degrees Fahrenheit. Very hot. This firing of this clay will harden it, turns a glaze into almost a glass where it cannot come off. It makes the pot impenetrable to liquids, makes the pot stronger. There are many times in our Christian walk when we're put through a fire, put through a trial. You know what the fire is good for? It hardens the glaze. That covering of Jesus Christ, it hardens it to where the pot and the glaze are inseparable. It forms them together where they can't come back apart anymore. The fires of life will get you closer to God than you ever thought possible. Because in those low times, the valley times, you get closer to God than you ever were before. Not only that, but those fires, they'll strengthen you, strengthen the pots, strengthen you, make you impenetrable to the enemy, make you where you can stand the test that maybe life may throw at you. If it weren't for the fires, the pottery would be worthless. It would fall apart. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I don't know what you're going through tonight, maybe going through a fire. You can trust the potter. He knows what's going on. He knows the clay. I'm glad the potter knows the clay. I'm glad I know the potter. But like I said, even more than that, I'm glad he knows me. I'm glad he knows what we can handle. I'm glad he knows he can give us stuff more than we can handle. He can take care of the rest of it. A lot of people say God won't give you more than you can handle. He will. That's the whole point. He gives more than we can handle, so we'll trust him. He'll bring you through. He'll take care of you. The potter knows the clay. He's formed you. He's formed you in his image. He's in control. Like I said before, if you're not being molded, not being reshaped, you're probably just sitting on the shelf. When you're going through the hard times, going through the pressure, that means you're in the hands of the potter. Thankful for the potter tonight. Let's pray. Well, thank you, Dale, and this church. Help the church and help take a simple thought and help somebody, encourage them. Or thank you for the people being here. Thank you for the ones that are faithful, Lord. Being here, Lord, I pray you help them this week. Lord, help Brother Fisher as he flies in. Lord, I pray you help them with him here. Lord, I pray you give them the words of state. Help the church in Jesus' name.